Thank you, Jamie. My name is B, and I am a grateful recovering alcoholic. Thanks for inviting me, Dunny. I love you. Thanks for the service team. I know it takes a lot of hands to put on a meeting like this, and I am always grateful to be in a room of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is an honor and a privilege every single time. So yeah, step three. I have a weird, I don't know, I got sober in 1992. I went through two rehabs that year, and I thought that I had it. I was gonna just learn this like English 101, just taking notes, learning how to get sober, and life would be awesome ever after. And it wasn't. I'm Icelandic, so I got sober in Iceland. And AA in Iceland in 92 is often referred to as, being stuck in the ice age, because we did not have a program of recovery. We had a program of fellowship. And there are many reasons why, but and that's history stuff. But we did not have the 12 steps. I mean, everybody had a big book, and most everybody had a copy of the 12 and 12, but nobody had practical experience of application of these principles in their lives. And God was a curse word in meetings at that time. I do not come from a religious background. I did not have a childhood religion to fall back on. So I didn't have a relationship with God when I came into these rooms. In my second rehab in September of 1992, that was a rehab that was run out of the university hospital. And as a byproduct, I had access to the hospital priest. And the hospital priest was getting super, super exhausted by me knocking on his door saying, "Hey, we need to have a discussion about this God thing," right? Because I am intelligent and I am analytical and I need to understand everything down to the molecular level, right? That's my default wiring. And I read quite a lot, and I had already read quite a lot about different religions and world history and all these things. And I had opinions on God, you guys. I had like a truckload of opinions. And this poor priest was sitting with me hour by hour, discussing theology and different religions and how God was not good because, the Holocaust, for example, and all these different things. And I would bring this to the table, always discussing down to the molecular level why God is not there, right? And one day he was just so exhausted. And I can see this in hindsight, right? But one day he said, "Hey, B, I'm going to give you a home assignment. So you're going to go to your room and you're going to write a wanted ad." And I'm like, "How is that going to help me keep sober?" Right? Because, everything is about me. And he said, "Well, you're going to write a wanted ad. Higher power wanted. And you're going to write it on a piece of paper, and you're going to write down what the qualifications for a higher power of your understanding are. And then you're going to carry that piece of paper in the back pocket of your jeans. And every single time one of these qualifications change, you're going to take that piece of paper out of your pocket and you're going to strike out or add to it." And I thought this was a really, really stupid exercise, right? Because again, I'm intelligent, I'm analytical. This is not going to work, right? What I found was that I found God eventually. It took time. And I was not ready to let God be the director. I was not ready to let him be the father. Because, see, again, I'm an analytical, I'm intelligent, I know better, right? And I need to control all the things around me. I need to control the people in traffic. I need to control the people queuing up in the grocery store. I need to control my family and, you know, my work colleagues and everybody around me, and sort of micromanage everything around me. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, playing God is absolutely exhausting. It is just so exhausting because there are just so many balls that I have to keep juggling around. I came out of rehab, you know, with some not great understanding of a power higher than me, but, you know, an understanding nevertheless. And I went straight into a halfway house. And of course, I kept playing God and micromanaging things. And then I sort of, you know, moved out of that halfway house and life starts happening. And again, I'm still playing God. I'm still micromanaging everything and everyone around me. And always frustrated, always angry, always dissatisfied, you know, rids up to the roofs, right? Restless, irritable, discontent, because I do not have a program of recovery. I'm going into step meetings at this point in my sobriety. And in step meetings in Iceland in those days, we would sit around a table and we would read the 12 and 12, the first part, not the second part, because nobody needs to read those traditions, right? And we would discuss philosophically what the 12 and 12 said about the step of the day. And again, hardly anybody had practical experience with applying these steps in their lives. So I don't know how many times I've read the 12 and 12, both in Icelandic and in English, right? And yet, because earlier today I was reading the third step with a sponsee. And there's a sentence in the third step in 12 and 12, or a paragraph, more sobriety brought about by the admission of alcoholism and by attendance at a few meetings is very good indeed, but it is bound to be a far cry from permanent sobriety and a contented, useful life. That is just where the remaining steps of the AA program come in. Nothing short of continuous action upon these as a way of life can bring the much desired result. I saw this paragraph in the 12 and 12 a couple of days ago, you guys, right? For the first time. And again, I have no idea how many times I've read the 12 and 12. But, you know, things are still popping out of these books and they're personally attacking me, right? At times, at least. But today, it's not so much a personal attack as, oh my God, God just stepped up and put something into the 12 and 12 that I haven't seen before. But this has been my experience. Like I said, I have an understanding of a God of my own understanding, and it's not a complete understanding. I have a friend who describes it as, you know, there's a group of ants and they're walking across a tarmac at the airport, right? And they come across this huge 747 sitting on a tarmac. And they have a discussion about what is this thing and what is it made of? And one of them says it's made of rubber because he's on the tire. And one of them says, no, it's made of aluminum because he's somewhere else. And one of them says, no, it's made out of steel, right? And they all have these different ideas about what this thing is made of, right? And they don't have the full picture. And that's me and God. I don't have the full picture. I just know that God is there. I know that he is doing for me what I cannot do for myself at any given moment in my life. God has stepped in and changed, you know, my literature. He has stepped in and changed songs on my iPods. And trust me, this is a doozy, and you'll hopefully laugh about this. So in 2012, I moved to America, and I got to live out just outside of Akron, Ohio, for almost a year, and it was absolutely amazing. I had had a difficult farewell with my mom before leaving for America, and my mom was a very sick alcoholic, and she was violent, and she probably had mental illnesses on top of that. She was an amazing woman, but we always had a difficult relationship. And she had said goodbye to me with some choice words that I did not necessarily appreciate. And then I go to America, and, you know, I had lost my apartment in the beginning of the year. So, you know, America seemed like a good idea, and it was. But this is how God steps into my life. Great events will come to pass, right? And I go to America, and a few months into my stay, the friend that I was staying with lost her house. So I was, you know, there in Ohio, and I'm facing being homeless yet again, twice in 1 year, you guys. And I'm having this huge discussion with God. I'm like, really, God? Really? Twice in 1 year? Wasn't once enough? When is it going to be enough? When are you done punishing me? And see, I know God does not punish me. But when I have an argument with him, I revert to that. You're punishing me now, right? So I'm having this huge discussion with God in my head. And then I walked into my home group, and I'm whining about this in the before the meeting fellowship. And one of my friends looked at me and said, "Hey, B, have you tried to look at it a little differently?" I'm like, "How do you look at it differently? I'm homeless. I'm going to have to change my ticket. I'm going to have to go home again. And it's all about me, right?" And she said, "Well, how many times has that friend of yours lost her home?" Never. Okay, so is it possible that God put you in this position so that you could be the experienced hand that can help her through this experience? And she could have just slapped me with a wet towel, because I was like, oh my God, yes, thank you. And it changed my outlook on things. And I stopped worrying about where I was going to live, if I was going to fly back home to Iceland, what was going to happen. And here's the funny thing. You know, all of a sudden, people were crawling out of the woodwork saying, "Hey, I've got a room for you. Please come stay with me." And, you know, pretty soon we were at a point where I was like making jokes about people having joint custody of me, and I would have to spend a week in this place and then a week in that place because everybody wanted me, right? And then I finally moved into a new place with a couple of friends, and I'm laying down on my bed, having moved all my stuff, and I put on a playlist that I had on my iPod. And it's a playlist that I've played, you know, thousands of times. And there's a song on that playlist that I've played tens of thousands of times, and I know the lyrics to this song, right? And what do you know? God had stepped in and changed the lyrics in that song for me. Because all of a sudden, as I'm lying there, I hear a line in that song that had never, ever been there. Trust me, it wasn't there, right? And then all of a sudden, it was there, just like that line in the big book, in the 12 and 12. So the song is "Live Like You Were Dying" by Tim McGraw. And the line, "Gave forgiveness I'd been denying." And it just slapped me right again, right? Because I am a God player. I tend to play God. And I tend to be, you know, carrying resentments that I don't know I have. Because people are not acting the way I want them to act. People are not doing what I want them to do, even if I don't open my mouth. And I never say, "Hey, Sonny, I want you to tie your hair back." I never say that, but I'll get angry at you for not having your hair tied back, right? Because I'm a God player and everybody should do what I want, right? That's my default setting. And it changed everything to hear that line, because all of a sudden I could see where my mom was, and I could see that she was just scared that she was gonna die alone and lonely while I was living in America. And you know, it all made perfect sense. So God steps in and does for me what I cannot do for myself. My understanding of God has changed so much through the years. It is definitely not the same God that I found in that rehab back in 92. It definitely isn't. It is much, much bigger, and it is much more loving. It's much more encompassing. And I still don't have a full picture, and that's okay. I am getting to the point where I am quicker to see where I'm playing God. I'm quicker to see where I'm trying to control my environment and the people around me and the things that happen in my life. My mom died last year, and it's been absolutely horrible to deal with the aftermath, because my family's alcoholic. I had been in no contact with my mom for the last few years, and that was a decision I had to make for me. And then when she died, I had to start looking into the her estate. And what I found was that my brother and his sons and my son had all been robbing my mom blind and using her money as and her bank accounts as their own piggy banks. And it was a huge, huge, huge resentment. And inheritance law is complicated in Iceland. And so the last year or so, I've been eyeball deep into this, and it's now in public probate, and we have a lawyer that is appointed as executor by the courts. And it's just, you know, it's legal matters that are really difficult and heartbreaking. But here's where God and AA comes in, right? Because I now have been super active again in AA, because I am doing service on three different meetings or groups. I am going to meetings every single day. I'm sponsoring again. I'm doing the work. I'm taking the next right step at all times. I get to be in a place where I don't have my hooks in it anymore. I get to step in and write an email or deal with a, you know, legal matter, and then I get to step away from it again. And I get to not stew in it. I get to not play God in my brother's life. I get to not play God with all these things. And it is a beautiful, beautiful experience, because I thought I would never get there. You guys, a year ago, I thought this was going to kill me, and it hasn't. See, my track record for getting through difficult days so far, 100%. So chances are, if I have a difficult day tomorrow, I am going to get through it, right? Because I am rooted in AA, because I am rooted in all of the 36 principles of the AA program. 12 steps, 12 traditions, and 12 concepts, right? That is what I need to be doing. This is where I need to be. And then everything else will fall into place. And the 12 and 12 talks about that again and again, how everything else falls into place. But I did not see that when I was reading this book philosophically in step meetings back in the 90s, back in Iceland. It was just philosophy. And, you know, yeah, this sounds like really good advice. Yeah. And then I would go out of that meeting, and I would continue to play God. I would continue to be upset with Sunny because she still doesn't have her hair pulled back, right? And I would still be upset with Elizabeth because Elizabeth said something the other day, and I got offended. Oh my God, right? I do not get offended today. I don't take things personally, but that's because of the third step, because I get to be in the care of God. I am under new management. So it's not my problem if somebody throws something at me. It's not my problem. It's God's problem, and He will take care of it. Do I step in and take things out of God's hands? Absolutely. Every single day, sometimes. I'm like, yeah, you know what, God, I know you're busy, so I'm just going to take this bit here and I'll manage that, right? One of these examples in my life is, you know, deciding who I'm going to sponsor. Yeah, I have opinions, right? And I think to myself, yeah, well, you know what? Sonny called me the other day and said, hey, can you sponsor me? And I'm like, yeah, you know what, Sonny? No. I really can't. I'm super busy. You know, I've got so many sponsees, you know, but hey, talk to Elizabeth. I'm sure she can help you, right? And what am I doing? I'm playing God, right? What happens? Invariably, without exception, invariably, my life becomes unmanageable. I stop having any time at all. My life is completely unmanageable. I'm trying to juggle things and nothing is working until I just say, okay, God, okay, whatever. You know, I'll just do what you ask of me. So I'll call Sonny and say, hey, Sonny, I had another think about this. And yes, absolutely, I'll help you. And I do not have opinions about who I'm sponsoring. And what happens? Again, my life is manageable because I am not in control. I am not playing God, and everything is as it should be, and I have all the time in the world for all of my sponsees. And this does not just apply to sponsees. This applies to everything in my life. As soon as I take it out of God's hands and try to manage it, my life becomes unmanageable. So I am constantly going back to the third step. God, let me be one of your agents. Let me be one of your child kids and just keep me under your care. And I know when I do this that my life is manageable because it's got a good manager and not the shitty one that is sitting right here, right? And I don't need to control everything and everyone. And people in traffic don't annoy me. And people in the grocery store don't annoy me, right? Because I don't need to control everything and everyone around me. That's my experience with step three. And it is a beautiful, beautiful experience. And I keep forgetting it, you guys. That's why I need to be in these rooms. That's why I need to be sponsoring. That's why I need to be going through this stuff every single day because I've got the attention chap. Attention span of a goldfish. It's like 3 seconds and it's gone. Like, hey, cool rock. Hey, cool rock. Hey, cool rock. That's me with the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, unless I'm constantly working it. I am super grateful to be here with you guys today, and I think I'm done. So thank you so much for spending your afternoon or lunchtime or whatever time it is with me. I love each and every one of you, and I can't wait to see some of you on the road of happy destiny. Thank you so much.